Turn in your Bibles today to Revelation chapter 9, the book of Revelation chapter number 9, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, the book of Revelation chapter number 9, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, and I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles in the pews, the black backed Bibles in the pews, but Revelation chapter 9, last book in the Bible, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would make it easy for us and speak to our hearts, and I believe you'll find it a very different message than usual, but here we are in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. We'll read those and then we'll pray. The Bible said, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, I want to thank you for the beautiful sunshine today. Lord, the warmer air. Lord, the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the beautiful songs that we've heard. And Lord, the presence of thy Spirit. God, it's just good to be here today. Lord, many times when we pray, we try to thank you for every blessing of life. And Lord, we don't want to forget that. But God, we need your help today. I pray you'd speak from your word. I pray that you'd help as only you can. I pray that you would bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in the service today in any way whatsoever. And I pray for liberty to preach and clearness of thought and mind and help. Lord, would you speak to our hearts, especially, God, if there'd be anybody here today that's lost. Lord, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation by and through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be soul winners. Help us to be what we ought to be in this life. And help us to see and recognize the shortness of the days in which we're living. We'll thank you for all you do. Help us just now. I ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. I want to go back into chapter number 8 and read verse number 13. That's the last verse in chapter number 8, and we'll just sort of begin there today. In chapter 8, in verse number 13, the Bible said, "And I beheld, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Now, it would take a long time to really do justice and bring us up to what's going on here in Revelation chapter number 9. I'm not going to do that today, but I'll just say by way of introduction that this passage of Scripture in chapter number 9 is going to bring us to about the midpoint of the tribulation. This future period of time is described by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 21. And the Lord Jesus said over there, He said, "For then shall be great tribulation." There's coming upon the earth a great tribulation. The Lord Jesus spoke about this. He said about this great tribulation, He said, "Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." What He was saying is that there's never been a time like this upon the earth. And then He says there'll never be a time like this after this tribulation. And He goes through Matthew chapter number 24 and gives many details about what will happen during this time of great tribulation. Isaiah saw it, Jeremiah saw it, many of the Old Testament prophets saw it. Jeremiah looked through the corridors of time, and he called it the time of Jacob's trouble, talking about the children of Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. And it said in Jeremiah 30 and verse 5 and 6, Jeremiah said about this time, he said, "We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace." Jeremiah saw a vision. He said, "I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness." He saw a vision of the men upon the earth walking about with their hands upon their loins, grasping their loins, or their stomachs, we might say, in great pain as a woman in travail. And he said, and all faces were turned into paleness. It's what Jeremiah saw when he saw this vision of the time of Jacob's trouble. And I want to preach today on this subject, and it's a different title, I recognize that, but I want you to hang with me today. I want to preach on the subject of alien invasion and the zombie apocalypse. That's what I want to try to preach on today, alien invasion and the zombie apocalypse. Both of these are found in Revelation chapter number 9. Now, everybody knows what I'm talking about. You've seen enough Star Trek and whatever else there is on TV to know about aliens and UFOs and little green creatures and all of these things. When we think about aliens, we think, though, in generally speaking, we think about non-human invaders from another world or from another place. We think about creatures which are superhuman. They're not human. They're alien. That's where we get that from. We think about creatures that have superhuman strength. We think about creatures that have super intelligence. When we think about zombies, you hear about this all the time now. Zombies are soulless humans. They are not alive and they're not dead. They're sometimes called the walking dead. There's a the way, I've never seen it, but my understanding, I think there's a television show and maybe it just ended. But that's the name of the show, and evidently a lot of people watch this television show called The Walking Dead. And it's about zombies and a post-apocalyptic world. And you just hear about things like this all of the time. Dr. Andrew Telford, I was reading his commentary on the book of Revelation, he entitled this, he called it, the deathless days of the tribulation. I don't know if you noticed in verse number 6, but it said there, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The deathless days of the tribulation. The tribulation is just going to be a horrible time overall, and it'll be so bad here that men will seek to die, but they'll not be able to die. Can you imagine that? That's what the Bible says in chapter 9. Verse number 6. Now I'm going to give you about four things today and I'll be done. First of all, let me say the purpose of the message. Why deal with a subject like this? Like I said this morning, as far as I know, there's no songs about this. We've heard some great songs today. They encouraged, they blessed my heart, they lifted me up, reminded me of the promises of God. But what about this? Why deal with this? What is the purpose of God even putting this in the Bible? How is this going to help us in our Christian lives? Look over in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. I want to read one verse over there and talking about the purpose of the message. Why even look and study about anything like this? Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Well, we could ask ourselves the question this morning, what is the purpose of the book of Revelation? What is the purpose of any prophecy that we read about in the Bible? You have the purpose here in chapter 1, verse number 1. It said to show unto his servants. To show unto his servants. When you study prophecy and you see the truth of the Word of God, and you it will encourage you in your Christian life. It's going to help you in your Christian life. And so the purpose of any prophecy is to show us, he said, to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. The Bible said in Isaiah 42 and verse number 9, the Lord said over there, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Anybody can tell you about what's going on in the past, but only God can tell you 100% what's going to happen in the future. And when we see God's Word being fulfilled all round about us, it lets us know that the Bible is the Word of God. God is foretold. The Bible has told us beforehand the things that are going to come to pass in the latter days. I was thinking about this and I thought about a young man once upon a time. And this young man had been raised in church, but he had also been raised in public school, and he had heard all kinds of different ideas about things. And at church he would hear one thing, but then he would go to school and he would hear other people and things, and he would hear a totally different thing. And this young man came to a crossroads in his life where he had more questions than he had answers. He come to a place where he just got to thinking about it and thought, well, he really didn't know what he believed. And this young man that I'm telling about this morning, he didn't know about what the Bible said about evolution. He had heard one thing at school. He heard Adam and Eve at church. He goes to school and hears that The earth is billions and the universe is untold billions of years, and we came about as a result of a big bang. And I mean, those two things, they do not match whatsoever. It's one or the other. He didn't know about the different versions of the Bible. He didn't know what to believe about the flood of Noah's days. He didn't even know if you could know that you had eternal life or not. Can you know that you know? We heard that song played this morning. I know my name is there. Can you know, according to the Bible, that you're saved? Can you really know that you have eternal life and that if you died, you know that you would go to heaven? Can you know these things? And this young man, he began to study and search the Scriptures. He didn't make a big deal out of it or go and talk to a whole lot of people, but he just began to read and study the Bible. Sometimes he would stay up almost all night long studying and reading the Bible and just trying to find some answers to life. You say, what happened to that young man? Well, you're looking at him this morning. That's my testimony about the Bible, about the Word of God. Once upon a time, I didn't know if I was coming or if I was going. I didn't know if the Bible was true. I didn't know if the teachers were telling me the truth or if what I'd heard in Sunday school was just a fable or a fairy tale. But I'm thankful this morning that I got in the Word of God and began to read and study and find out some things for myself. And I may not know much today, but I know this. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Past, present, and future, the Word of God is true. So when we study the prophecies in the Word of God, when you study the book of Revelation, it's because God wants you to know some things. He wants you to know some things before it's too late. And so that's the reason for this and for every prophecy and for the message this morning. But second of all, there is the prevalence of this message now. It said in chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you know that word revelation is the word apocalypse? It's the same word. It's where we get out. It means the same thing, the revealing, the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world that we live in has apocalypse on the brain. They don't say revelation, but everywhere you look, you hear people talking about apocalyptic things. That specifically has to do with what the book of Revelation is talking about. That's where that comes from. So when you hear about people talking about the zombie apocalypse or something apocalyptic happening, that is referring to the word revelation, the prevalence of the message. Everywhere you turn, in the newspaper, on the news, things coming out of Hollywood, there is this continual theme of a worldwide catastrophe. If I took the time this morning to just go down the list of movies in the past 10 or 20 years that had that scenario for their theme, it would take me a long time to go through all of the movies that Hollywood has put out depicting a worldwide catastrophe. The theme of the end of the world as we know it. The apocalypse. On and on. There's movies out right now. There's television shows about UFOs and aliens and invaders from another world and zombies and demons. And it's on movies. It's on television shows. I don't know how many shows there are about these very things. Tonight on National Geographic, I'm not making a commercial for it, but I seen a news article about it, and tonight on the National Geographic channel, they've got a new show or something coming out, and it's about what's going to happen when the lights go out. Why all this being consumed with all these tragic, tragic things. What's going to happen? Doomsday preppers, on and on and on. We go, we see this theme in video games, big in video games, about the end of the world and World War III and IV and all of these things. The prevalence of this message now, when you heard me say I was going to preach on alien invasion and the zombie apocalypse, I'm sure that some people would say, I don't believe that. I can't believe your deal. I can't believe you'd say that from the pulpit. You may not believe in anything I'm saying this morning, but do you know there's a lot of people in the world that do? Do you know NASA believes, I'm talking about, if it's not out of business now, but back when NASA used to send up spaceships and satellites and Hubble telescopes and all these things, do you know what they're looking for? Do you know what they have great hope in? Do you know what they are? There are people right now all over the world that are sitting and doing nothing but listening for signals or some communication from outer space. Life on Mars, life in other galaxies and places. You say, I don't believe in all that. NASA does. There's some very intelligent people in the world that believes in the very things that I am preaching about this morning. There are those in the Pentagon that believe in these things and prepare for a worldwide catastrophe. The Department of Homeland Security surely does. They're preparing all the time and gathering for a end time worldwide something that, what are they buying all this stuff for? I seen an article this morning from one of the main men in the CDC. That's the Center for Disease Control. And of course, that's an organization out of our government, the Center for Disease Control. And this very high up individual, I don't remember his name, but he said we've been warning for a long time. He said the end of the age of antibiotics is here. He said, it's not coming, it's here. And the article said that the new super bugs that are coming in the world, and there's infections and bacteria that antibiotics will not touch and they cannot do anything with. And the medical world, they are really concerned about what's going to happen when antibiotics. Said people have medicated themselves to death and now they are immune. And now there's super bugs. And oh, what are we going to do? Preparing for these things. The Vatican believes. Do you know one of the biggest observatories in the world the Vatican owns? And the higher-ups in the Vatican have said that when they come, I'm talking about that's what they say, not what I say. But they believe there's life in outer space. And a while back, one of the higher-ups said, when they come, when they make contact with us, we hope to be the first ones to talk to them. There's many, many people that believe in these things. Recently, our Supreme Court Justice, his name is Anton Scalia, and he gave an interview to a New York magazine, and in that interview, the subject of the devil came up. And Mr. Scalia said that he did believe in the devil and he did believe in demons and that they were working in the world today. And what a surprise that was to the literary world. The journalist asked him about it. He said, don't be surprised. He said 70% of Americans believe in a devil, believe in demons. There's many, many that believe in these things. Yes, there are plenty of scoffers. There are plenty of people that would hear what I'm saying. They would make fun. They would poke fun at that. But there are millions of people in the world that believe with all of their heart that we're on the very edge of something big. They may not know what it is, but they feel in their gut, they believe in their heart that we are on the edge of something that will change and alter the history of the world. And most people believe that it will not be pretty, won't be a pleasant thing to go through. The man of mind and the heart of people is being preconditioned to accept the unbelievable, and the unacceptable. All these movies, all these TV shows. I remember years ago, I need to move on. But I remember years ago, when reality TV started coming out. And there's a show, and I think it was called Emergency. And Emergency was about emergencies that had happened, and paramedics or police or firemen, they had went somewhere, they had rescued somebody, and that show would recreate those emergencies, but it was very lifelike. I'm talking about probably the early 1990s, somewhere around in there. And Kim was watching that one time, and I was trying to watch it, and I said, that bothers me. I said, that bothers me to see those people crying and in pain and these problems, these catastrophes that they're going through. I said, I can't stand to watch that. I said, I don't see how you can stand to watch that. How is that entertaining? And we'll get home, she'll say, I don't remember that, but I promise you it happened. Or something near to what I'm telling. We have come to the place in our society where things like that don't bother us. And that ought to bother us that these things don't bother us. Our mind, our heart is getting conditioned to accept things that were formerly very, very hard to take and would emotionally just tear us all to pieces. Now it's just entertainment. There's the prevalence of the message, number three. There's the picture of the message in chapter number 9. I know what you're thinking, oh my, he's just now getting to his text, but I promise you I'm not going to go through every verse in great detail. But in chapter number 9, by the time you get to chapter number 9 in the book of Revelation, normal is an unknown thing. You ought to thank God every day. When I got out of the bed this morning and it was still dark, and I get up and I went and I looked out the window in the front of the house, I thought to myself, I know the sun's going to come up in a little while. I know it's going to get warmer. I know we're going to church today. I know that when I make my coffee, the coffee maker's gonna come on. And when we turn on the lights and when we get in the car, we're going to go. And normal is a great blessing. You say, oh, I'm bored. You ought to thank God if you're bored. Because there's going to come a time when every dependable, regular facet of nature is just going to be totally haywire. And nothing in the world is going to be as it used to be. In chapter number 8, and verse number 8, the Bible said, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Can you imagine such a thing happening? It's going to. Verse 10 said, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. You say, I don't believe that could happen. Do you know that happened last year over in Russia? And anybody in the world that's got an internet connection can go and see where that meteor fell. Wasn't that a sight? Wasn't that odd to see something like that? Thousands of miles screaming through the air. So that can't happen. It already has, and it's going to again. But it's going to be far worse. Verse 11 said, the name of the star is called wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. That means bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was smitten. And the third part of the moon. And the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, there's coming a day where everything is going to be out of whack. You won't know if it's day or night or what time. Terrible time. Terrible time. During the dark ages. We've been studying in church history about the dark ages. Do you know in the dark ages, the number one occupation, do you know what it was? It was just staying alive one more day. I believe the average lifespan during the Dark Ages was about 35 or 40 years old. If you made it to 40, you were an old man. You were an old woman. Death was so prevalent that it was nothing. People died. Babies died. They piled them out in the street. I mean, it was a horrible day to live in. And the number one occupation was just surviving one more day. That's already happened in history. You know that's how it's going to be in the tribulation. Just to survive one more day. Just to stay alive another day. And so that day, that time is going to happen again. But when you come to chapter number 9, all hell is going to break loose. And I mean that literally this morning. It said in verse number 2, chapter 9, verse 2, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." Here's an invasion from another world. It's not from outer space, but it's from underneath. It's from a place, according to the Bible, that's called the bottomless pit. According to the Bible, if you study this out, the fallen angels, there is a group of fallen angels that are today reserved in chains unto the day of judgment. Jude verse number 6. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. If you study this out, these fallen angels, they are devils. They are the worst of the worst, and they are so bad that God put them in prison, so to speak, while other demons are loose and free in the world. As I've studied this out in the Bible, I believe these fallen angels are the fallen angels that you find in Genesis chapter number 6. That cohabitated with mankind and brought about a race of giants upon the earth. And they so corrupted mankind that the only option the Lord had was to send a great flood and destroy all the people upon the earth because they were wicked in their hearts only and only evil continually. But you know what? One day God's going to let those angels out from their prison. Can you imagine what would happen if all the prisons in America were opened up all at the same time, on the same day, and they were all let loose and just said, "There you go. Just go on out and you're free." And you know, there's a movie coming out. It's called The Purge. And the idea of that movie is that for 24 hours, all law is going to be lifted and whatever happens, happens. Where did anybody come up with anything like that in their mind? And basically it's going to be if you can survive through the night and all wickedness is going to break out and anybody that wants to do anything, they can do that. It's called The Purge. Well, The Purge is coming. A movie along these lines. If all the prisons in America were just opened overnight, all those on death row, all those in the general population. Do you know that every prison has a prison within the prison? What they have to do, they have to separate out the child molesters, the mass murderers, the ones that have done just such wicked crimes that if they were in the general population, those men and women wouldn't, they'd kill them. You'll find that if you go to any prison in America, there's a prison within a prison for the worst of the worst. God's going to let loose the worst of the worst. Verse number 5, chapter 9, verse 5 said, "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man." Torment in the Bible is always associated with devil possession and hell. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments. The people who came to the Lord Jesus possessed with the devil were said to be in torment. That's what the Bible says. Verses 7 through 9, we see their look. We see their sound that they made. Verse 7 said, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. Their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men." They had intelligence. They knew what they were doing. They could not kill men. They could only hurt men. They were instructed not to touch the grass, but only the men that didn't have... They're intelligent beings. Their face as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. It's near Halloween. People love to be scared. We pass by a sign coming to church. You can go over in Mountain City and go to Zombie Wood. Hollywood, Zombie Wood, I guess that's about the same thing. People love to go to the ghost train. People love to go to haunted houses and all these things. Can you imagine being chased by one of these? We don't know what scared is. Scared's just fun to a lot of people. But boy, there's coming a day. Verse 9. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. We see what they look like. We see their lifespan is 5 months in verse number 10. And that is the lifespan of a locust, actually. May to September. That's when the locusts live. Verse 10, their lifespan. These locusts are not after grass and trees and green things. They're after men. Verse 11, we see their leader. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name Apollyon. The king of the bottomless pit is going to be let loose upon the earth. What a terrible time it's going to be. The picture of this message. The worst thing is in verse number 6. "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." There's coming a day when the suicide rate will be zero. During those 5 months, nobody, although they would love to be able to die and get out of their misery, they'll not be able to. You talk about a horror picture. You talk about a horror show. I read in the newspaper yesterday about an inmate that had been arrested. He'd been put in jail and he'd hung himself. They'd found him the next morning. And it said that he'd been in and out of prison for a total. He'd spent 13 years of his life in prison. He was a habitual felon. And I guess the poor fella just got to the place in his life where he said, "I'm sick of it. I'm never going to do any different. I'm going to spend more time in prison." And he just couldn't stand the thoughts of it. So he took a bed sheet or something and he hung himself in his prison cell. Boy, it has to get bad to get to that point. But do you know, during the tribulation, during these 5 months, there'll be people that'll try to hang themselves, and the next day they'll still be hanging there. They will seek to die, and they'll not be able to die. You think these zombie shows and everything, and people walking around maimed and bleeding and grotesque and all of those things, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, but it's not going to be something you pay for and go through and get scared and come out on the other side and say, "Boy, wasn't that fun?" That's how life up on earth is going to be. Isn't that horrible? Jeremiah said he saw men and they had a voice of trembling and fear and no peace. And they girded themselves and their faces were pale. That's what he had a vision of. These days during the tribulation. Well, last of all, let me move on today. Number 4, there's the preparation for the message. There's a great question in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. And it says this: "How shall we escape?" Isn't that a good question? I don't know. I would say today, I don't want to go through anything like that. What can we do? What can we do to make sure we're not there? Sadly today, there's nothing can be done. There's no salvation in Revelation chapter number 9. There's no bunker deep enough. I've seen and read stories that people that have bought old missile silos, spent millions of dollars renovating these things, putting apartments and swimming pools, and they interview and talk to these people. Well, they say when the apocalypse comes, that's my doomsday bunker. There's no bunker deep enough. There's no weapon strong enough. There's no antidote for curing the sting of these these locusts, these scorpions that'll come. There's no cure. There is no escape for these people in Revelation chapter number 9. But that is if you're there. Thankfully, we're not there. We're here. I heard Preacher Derek preaching on the radio this morning. He was talking about this is the age of grace. Boy, you ought to thank God for that this morning. We're not there. We're here. Praise the Lord. We got up today and it was normal. We could come to church, worship the Lord. Let me show you where we are. Look in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. I'm going to read. Have you ever went to a big mall? Have you ever went shopping somewhere, or maybe to a entertainment park of some kind, and you go in and there's a big old map. You say, boy, we'll get lost in here, but there's a map and there's an X and it'll say, you are here. You know what? If we looked in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, you are here. This is where we are. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's where you are. We are living in the very last of the last days. Politically, economically, environmentally, the world is going wild. Spiritually speaking, many, many things we could point to as signs of the times. There are many things being forged in the fire today that's going to be used in the crisis tomorrow and the next day. And the next day, so many things are going on. This is where we are in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. This is just before the beginning of the great tribulation. Do you realize what a day we're living in? Last week, up 20 miles north of Boston, Massachusetts, 14-year-old boy is asked by his teacher to stay after school for something nobody knows. That 14-year-old boy took a box cutter and murdered his teacher, shoved her in a trash can, hauled her out in the woods behind the school, took her credit card, and went to Wendy's. We're living in days of demonically inspired crime. We're living in days where we see more and more on the rise all kinds of evil. Things that maybe ought to be on some television fantasy show, but it's happening in real life. Last winter, I believe it was, down in Florida, there was a incident. The police were called. They came to the scene. There was a naked man on top of a homeless man that was chewing his face off. The police tried to stop the man. They shot him an ungodly number of times before he ever stopped what he was doing. You hear about things like that. That is not right. That is not normal. There's something else that is going. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. We're on the edge. Do you know we went to Grandfather Mountain last spring? The only time we can afford to go is during dollar days. Do you know how much it costs to go in Grandfather Mountain? I can go on my mountain and see Grandfather Mountain, but it's nice to go up there every once in a while. We go up there and climb out on the rocks, and there's just something about being on the edge of something. I think if I was blindfolded, I would be able to know in my gut we're too close to the edge. You ever get that feeling? I had all kinds of fun. There was a boy up there who wouldn't go across the bridge. I said, come on. It's all right. And then you get him out there on it and you start shaking the bridge. And see how fast they can get back to the other side. But we got out there and we said, well, let's take a picture. And I'm all right for a while. But the closer I get to the edge, there's something in my gut that says, can you not tell in your innermost being? Do you not spend time alone with God from time to time? And just maybe in your prayer time or reading in your Bible, and you just, we are on the edge of Revelation chapter, we are in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, where the Lord Jesus comes and he's not in the church, but he wants to get in. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I believe it's an urgent knock that the Lord is wanting to get into hearts and lives before it's eternally too late. Because God doesn't want anybody to go into Revelation chapter 9. But he wants to come in and sup with us and save us. That is such a beautiful picture of salvation. It's hard to find one that is easier to explain even to a little child. The Lord Jesus comes, knocks upon our heart, and wants to save us by his marvelous grace. All we have to do on our part is open up our heart. He said, if you'll open unto me, I will come in. Isn't that a blessed promise? The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, I'm trying to be a good person. You'll never be good enough. If you get saved, it'll be by his marvelous grace. It's the gift of God. Romans 10:9 says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a good word? You'll not only be saved from dying and going to hell, you'll never have to worry about going into a tribulation, because God's people are going to be gone before that ever starts. There's an urgent, urgent knock going throughout the world today. Oh, that people would listen, but many people are just not interested. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.